The last couple of weeks, we've been ministering along a certain lines. Of course, Reverend Joel was ministering for us for a couple of weeks about the kingdom of God. Jesus, when he came to earth, he talked a lot about the kingdom of God. But he talked in illustrations. He talked kind of in code. He would say things like, the kingdom of God is like a woman who's going to look for a lost pearl, you know, or, you know, just different things. He would give stories and allegories. He didn't necessarily just come out and say what the kingdom of God was. He just said it was like this or like that. And the reason he did that was because what the church was going to look like after he left was a lot different than the Jewish people were thinking it was going to be. Yeah. Meaning, it wasn't just Jewish people that were going to be involved. There was something called the Gentiles, other people. Yeah. In other words, God was making a way for everybody to be involved in his kingdom. And so we see when we get to the New Testament letters, we see when Paul starts writing these letters, he starts telling people, oh my goodness, I've figured out some things about what this kingdom is. The kingdom of God, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Should we look at that, Romans 14, 17? The kingdom of God, it's different than what people think. It's not like the natural kingdom that we live in, this earthly kingdom. That earthly kingdom is just about eating and drinking, right? The kingdom of God is not, it's not about eating and drinking. The reason he was saying this was because after the Gentiles started to get receive Christ and come into Christianity, which was this new thing, right? No one had been a Christian before Jesus had come. And so these Christ followers, we've got people that were Jews that realized Jesus is the Messiah, and they received him and asked him to be, wanted to follow what Jesus was teaching, and they became Christians. And then you also have these Gentiles that became Christians. Well, they're two different customs, two different, very different groups of people. You had Greeks, you had Romans, you had all different customs coming together and all different ways of thinking. And so the Jews were like, well, you know, you can't eat this and you can't eat that, right? Because in the old law, there were certain things you could eat and certain things you couldn't eat. Yeah. And then you had other people that were coming from other pagan religions, where they would sacrifice to gods and eat certain things and do certain things. And they were saying, no, well, you can't do this and you can do this. And Paul, he had kind of had it up to here with everybody going back and forth and said, in order to be a Christian, you've got to do this. In order to be a Christian, you've got to eat this way. In order to be a Christian, you have to sit here. I don't know. You have to stand on your head for a few minutes. They were getting a little wild. And Paul said, look, guys, the kingdom of God, it really isn't about what you eat or what you drink. That's natural. That's what goes on this earth. We all have to do it. We all have to drink some things and eat some things if we want to stay living on this earth. He said, but that's not what God's kingdom is about. God's kingdom is different. God's kingdom is about righteousness. What's righteousness? Being right with God. Yeah. Being right with God. Finding out in the scriptures what he says you're supposed to do to align your life with his. Yeah. And then doing it. That's what his kingdom's about. And then peace. I've been ministering a couple weeks on that, right? Right. Staying in peace. Living in peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's a different kind of peace. The world's peace. What do we say? What do we mean when we talk about the world? Just people that don't necessarily follow Christianity. They don't believe in this thing called the kingdom of God. They're just living life, right? Yeah. Yeah. Their kind of peace is absence of war. For most people, for a lot of people, if the world is at rest and everybody's happy, which has that ever happened since I've been alive? I don't think so. There's somewhere in the world, somebody's after somebody else, right? Yeah. So for the natural person, someone who's not thinking about the kingdom of God, for the natural person, peace on earth would be everybody being sweet to one another. Nobody fighting one another, right? But that's different. Jesus said, I'm leaving you guys peace that the world doesn't have. This is peace from God no matter what's going on around you. You have the ability, if you know about God's kingdom and allow God's kingdom to work in your life, you can walk in peace all the days of your life. And that is something money can't buy. It's an amazing place to be. Jesus even told us in that passage in John 14 when he said, my peace I'm leaving with you. He said, in the world, there's going to be trouble. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yeah. What did he mean by that? He means that if we learn about the kingdom of God and we learn how to stay operating in his kingdom, it means no matter what happens around us, whatever circumstance comes up, we can still live in peace and joy. Yes. Glory to God. Circumstances don't have to ruffle our feathers. Yes. Will they try to? Yep. Of course. Of course. And so we ministered some, we talked about, and I actually didn't plan to review all this, but here we are, we're reviewing. I, of course, was ministering some of this after I had come back from visiting my sister, if you remember that. She lives on an island. And I'm still stunned at how different life is on that island. And I realized that, you know, when we're talking about the kingdom of God, a kingdom typically normally means there's a king, right? Or there's somebody over that kingdom, a ruler of that kingdom. A kingdom is a sphere of domain, right? My sister lives on this island called Martha's Vineyard. That's the little kingdom she lives in. And you have to, on purpose, try to get off that island. There are no bridges. It's very strange. You have to, on purpose, exit. Like, you have to buy a ticket on a plane to get off the island. Or a ticket on a ferry to get off the island. You have to make plans to go off the island. And as I was visiting her, I have to thank her for this sermon illustration because I've been using it for 3 weeks now. I realized that God's kingdom is very much like that. My sister is still a citizen of the United States of America. She could go to the mainland anytime she wanted to. But she has chosen to live on island. And although it's still part of America, it's very different there. It's very different there. And what she's decided, you know, it's just easier to stay on island and ship in the items I might need. And yeah, she's given up a few things. You know, she doesn't, like, go downtown and see a musical or something like that, or, you know, hear the symphony. I'm sure they have something that comes there once in a while. But so she's given up a few things, but for the most part, she's very happy on her island. And I realize the kingdom of God is so very much like that. The Christian has a choice. You can say, I'm a Christian, Jesus is my Lord, and I know when I die I'm going to heaven. But besides that, I'm just going to live life the way everybody else does. You can do that. That's our choice. That's the amazing thing about God. He gives us a choice whether we're going to live totally for him or just think about him once in a while. But to get the best benefit out of all that God has for us, and there's amazing benefits of what God has for us, to get the best benefit, we got to choose to go to this island, the Kingdom of God island, right? Yeah. And when we are on or living in his island, so to speak, in the Kingdom of God, there's righteousness there. Yeah. We are right with God. That means that just like Hebrews tells us, we can boldly approach the throne of God and obtain help in times of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That's amazing. That is mind-blowing. We have the right to do that because of what Jesus did. His blood was shed to make us right with him. And now we get to talk to God. We get to hear from him. We get to receive direction from him. That's amazing. This kingdom, this island where God's on the throne, he's my king. He has given us this ability to walk in his righteousness. Not because we did anything great, because, you know, we might do some things good, we might do some things bad, right? So if we're going on our own merits, we got to go to God and think, oh, maybe I was good enough, maybe, I hope. No. That's not why Jesus died. Jesus died because he knew we'd never be good enough, right? So he came down with sinless blood and shed his blood. And he gave us the opportunity to partake of what he purchased. He purchased our redemption. He made us right with him. This is amazing. This is amazing news. And so we can live in this island being right with God. That means we can approach the king. We can go talk to the owner of the island. We can go chat with him and receive from him and get direction from him if we stay on island. So we can walk around on this island being right with God. We can enjoy on this island. In this kingdom of God, on our island, we can enjoy peace, the peace of God. It lives, if we believe that Jesus is our Lord, the peace of God lives in us. So anytime stress comes to the outside, we can turn to the kingdom of God on the inside and say, I'm choosing today peace. I'm choosing to access and walk in your peace, Father. Father, help me to know what to say in peace. Help me bring peace to this situation, because we need some peace, right? We can learn to diffuse. We can learn to help just by learning to walk in the peace of God that's in us. And then there's this idea that there's actually supposed to be some joy in our life. Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's joy for us. But where is it? Is it around in the world? not so much. I mean, there's some happy things. There's some not so happy things. For the Christian, our joy, it's in here. It's in here. It's on my island. The kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's a flow of joy that should be in our life, no matter what circumstances are going on. And because of that, the Christian should look different, should talk different. They should seem different to other people when they get around us. Something's different about you. And we want to make sure that that's the case. When people meet us, that they realize, hey, you seem to be at peace all the time. Why is that? You seem to laugh when other people want to cry. Why is that? And that recognition, when somebody sees something different in you, that gives us as Christians an opportunity to proclaim good news, right? To tell them what we would say our testimony, right? To tell them about God. And that's really why we're here on earth, right? Once we receive God and realize how good he is, we want other people to know about it. And so this morning, I really wanted to minister some on sharing the good news, because not everyone knows how to do it. I'll just be honest. Not everyone knows how to do it. Sometimes we are so, because we haven't learned to live in our kingdom, the kingdom of God, where there's peace and there's joy. Sometimes we, just like everybody else, focus on all the bad stuff that's going on. Yeah. And we start talking about all the bad things that are going on. And we need to learn to stay in our sphere of peace and joy so that there's something recognizable about us. And when somebody asks us about it, we can share the good news. That's what the gospel means, right? That word gospel, it means good news. Good news, not bad news, not sad news. It means good news. And so when we talk about this word, our testimony, what's a testimony? That's a testament. That's a statement of our life, right? That's a statement of what God has done for us, our testimony. And I was actually talking with the pastor not too many weeks ago about this idea, because I believe we ministered this some on Tuesday night, but we were talking about how back in the 30s and 40s and 50s in churches, there used to be a custom during the midweek services, there was a custom of people getting up and sharing their testimony. They would share something that God was doing in their life. We do that here through back there. We've got little green cards, little blank green cards. And if God does something good in your life, we tell you, write it down, right? Yeah. And then we'll read it. When I get green cards up here on the table, I'll read them off. If it's big, small, little, why? Because we're always looking to see what God's doing in our lives. And when we share what God's done in our life with somebody else, it'll open up their eyes and say, hey, if he's done that for them, maybe he'll do it for me. Yeah. And the testimony we give is supposed to be inspiring.
Yes.
Meaning, it's supposed to, if somebody else is a Christian, they'll be like, bless God, if he does it for you, he's going to do it for me. If somebody's not a Christian, they'll think, wow, God's really good to you. Like, you believing in God, that's working for you, isn't it? So the testimony we give is supposed to be a good thing, right?
Yes.
But back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, when they'd have these testimony meetings, it sometimes would turn into a, let's talk about everything bad that's happening in our lives. You know, I got a cold on Tuesday, it got worse by Friday. My husband got sick on Saturday, and, you know, he hasn't been out of bed for 3 days. There was the test they were giving. They were telling about the test, but we forgot the money. Testimony, right? Right? There's supposed to be an end to the test. You know, that word testimony has that word test in there, meaning there's going to be a trial, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a problem that arises. The testimony is supposed to be how God brings you out,
yeah,
through, over, around, however you get there. The testimony is supposed to be about the goodness of God. And so we laugh because Brother Hagin, our spiritual father, when he would talk about this sometimes, he said there was one lady that got up in one of his services, because of course he pastored for 12 years in the 40s, into 1952 is when he left pastoring. And he said this one lady got up to give her testimony, and she got up and said, "The devil's been after me all the week. Bless his holy name." She didn't mean it like that. She meant the devil's been after me all the week. And then she was going to say, because we're used to blessing the Lord, bless his holy name. But she kind of sandwiched them together and forgot to put an interlude. And so Brother Hagin's like, oh my goodness. And so when I was talking to this pastor a couple weeks ago about that, he said, you know, I wanted to do a testimony meeting in our service. And he said, I had a couple people come up, and he said, I realized they don't know how to give a testimony. And he said, I spent the next couple weeks teaching people how to give your testimony. Do we have to be taught that? Yeah. Yes. Because if we're not careful, we're humans, right? I don't know, something about our human nature. We like to focus on the worst part of whatever situation is going on. Me, I'm preaching to me, right?
Yeah.
You want to look at, you know, this week we've had some fun times with my dog. My dog's face right now, half of it is about 3 times the size of the other side. He's got some kind of abscess or something in his face. So we've been to the vet, we've been doing, you know, and if you're not careful, you'll start focusing on all, you know, it's getting worse. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look better. It's getting worse. And, you know, we have to be careful that we stay on the right side of things, right?
Right.
Meaning, God's always healed my dog. Like, my dog's always come through. He's gotten some weird stuff before. And he's still living. Okay, he's still living, right? He's a dog, and he's going to live. You know, if that's the best part of the testimony I've got right now, I'm going to focus on the positive. So for our testimony, when we're saying something about when someone comes and says, "How did you make it through that? You know, you went through such and such. How did you do that?" Yes, we want to acknowledge that there was a test, because part of the testimony is the fact that there was there was a problem that you didn't know how to fix, and God came alongside and helped you fix it.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that if we give 5 minutes of time towards the test, well, let's give 10 to giving glory to God, not the devil, but God, for all that he's done to help us through or to help us out.
Yeah.
And so I say these things, and it might seem so simple, like, duh. And then you hear somebody come up and say, no joke. We had people, you know, come up to my husband and I just at this last miracle crusade we had in Canada. And they came up to my husband and said, I just want to give you this testimony. She was a sweet little gal. And I still don't know what the testimony was. It didn't make any sense. All she told us was all these bad things that happened. But I never got the, like, and then God fixed it all. I never got that part. I was like, and somehow she was telling us, like, and you, well, she did say, you really helped me by what you ministered. She was telling my husband, you really, what you ministered really helped me get through that. So that's good. But we need to be taught some of these things. When we're testifying about the goodness of God, let's make sure we talk about the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So if you would, we better look at some scripture here. John 10:10 for me. We need to remember that God is so good. And in John 10:10, Jesus said this. He said, the thief, who? The thief. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And then he says this, I came that they may have what?
Life.
And have it abundantly. Now the thief here, we could study this out and we could read the scriptures before and after, but we don't have time to do that today. But the thief here is just simply talking about our enemy, right? The devil. There's a devil. He's bad. Jesus. He's good. Right? The thief, the enemy. What's his job description? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if something is come into your life and it's trying to steal happiness, joy, if it's trying to steal or take away something of yours, is that God?
No.
According to this verse, and we can go to many, 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 many other verses. We're just looking at this one today. No. So the first part about giving a good testimony is recognizing who's working in your life. If something's being stolen, guess what? Not God. Not God. It's not God. Because Jesus said, I've come that you can have life. Have it more abundantly. Pull this up in the Amplified for me. The Amplified Classic translation or version just kind of does what exactly what it says. It amplifies some of these words. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. God's life? Oh my goodness. It's a life of enjoyment. Wait a minute. I thought it was, what about the tests and trials? Yeah, they're there. But we're on our island, right? Where there's peace and joy. We're in the kingdom of God. And no matter what comes up, we need to first recognize it's the thief that tries to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not God.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a friend, went to the same school that we went to, Bible school. And she is a minister, great minister of God. And she, when she was in high school, she was a freshman in high school. She had been in remedial classes or in all through elementary school, middle school. She had been in classes for, she had difficulty reading. She was just a slower learner. And she had been, you know, marked as such. How many know kids can mark other kids, because she had been in all kinds of special classes because she was just slower. And her freshman year of high school, she went to a Brother Hagin meeting in her town and got born again. She heard the news about receiving Jesus as her Lord. She asked him to be Lord of her life. He changed her completely. And by the time she graduated from high school, she was in classes with honors, in honors classes. And she graduated with a great diploma. And in that process, she got a lot of students in her high school born again. Just telling how good God was and that he helped her mind. He touched her body. I mean, he really changed her whole life. And so she got an opportunity. She would preach at youth groups. She would go wherever people would invite her as a teenager. She's out there ministering. And she gets out there and she gets invited to go to a juvenile detention center. And she goes, I didn't know what I was going to say. She goes, you know, I just knew a few scriptures. And this was one of the ones that she knew. She knew that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that Jesus came that you could have life and have it more abundantly. She said, and I got up there and I read that verse. And she said, I just got up there and said, the devil is dumb. She said, if you serve the devil, you're dumb. Remember, she's you know, just a teenager, and she just knows I was slow, and now I've you know, I can understand things so much better just naturally because of what God's done. And then he said, God is good, she said. And if you serve God, that's good. And she preached her whole message about don't be dumb. Be smart. Serve God. He'll help you be smart, she said. And you know, all these kids in that service received Jesus and gave their lives. Why? Because sometimes we make things more complicated than they really are.
Yeah.
There's bad things that happen. Don't say God did it.
Right.
Now, will God teach you through some bad things?
Yes.
Of course. He's always teaching us. He's teaching me through good things and bad things, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean God did it. Don't blame God.
Right.
God's good.
Yes.
God's, can we say that? God's
God
good.
Good.
He's good.
Yes.
Let's look at Psalm 103. God's good. And when we're giving our testimony, when we're talking about him and what he's done in our life, we want to make sure we major on the fact that God is good.
Yeah.
He's good. Bless the Lord. Psalm 103. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God has benefits?
Yes.
He does. He provides his people with benefits. And the word tells us we're not supposed to forget those. We're supposed to remember his benefits. We're supposed to remember his goodness. Why are we talking about all this? Because when someone approaches us or talks to us about our life, we want to make sure we're majoring on the fact that God's good. That he's been good to us,
yes.
That he's helped us.
Yes.
Not the devil's been after me all the week. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who what? He forgives all your iniquity. What's that? Your sin. He forgives you. Glory to God. Through Jesus, the blood that was shed, we've been forgiven of all our iniquity. That means no matter what you used to do, Jesus' blood has cleansed you and made you right with God.
Yeah.
Glory. He forgives all your iniquity. Who heals
yes.
all your diseases?
Yes.
Yes. Glory to God. Next verse. He redeems your life from the pit. Oh my goodness. You don't even have to know what the pit, everything means about the pit to know I don't want to be in the pit.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me. I like this part. He crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is God. This is our God. This is our God. He forgives all of our iniquity. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns us with steadfast love. What's a crown? A crown is, well, it's normally pretty. First of all, it's normally sparkly. It's normally gold. So it's jewelry. We like that. But more than that, what? It's a mark, a symbol of somebody who's in authority, right? We're part of God's kingdom. He's the king. But we've been crowned not with... We haven't been crowned with a boldness to go and boom, you better be a Christian, boom, boom. You know, with this boldness to just beat the world into knowing about Jesus. He's crowned us with what? His love.
Yes.
Oh, glory. We've been crowned with his goodness, his love, his mercy. And we get to, you know, I don't know. When people wear crowns, I think they walk different, don't they?
Yes.
If I had a crown on, I'd walk different. Why? Because I'm aware that something's on my head and I need to keep it steady.
Mm-hmm.
We should be walking around aware that God's love and mercy are not only on us, crowning us, but we can extend that love and mercy to those that we meet. And when we are able to give our testimony and say, I see you're hurting. This is going on in your life. Let me tell you what God's done in my life. I was in a similar situation, and God's love brought me out. God's mercy reached in and touched me when I needed him. And he can do that for you. That's what it means to be crowned with his love and mercy. Glory to God. We can walk around with that on our life. The next verse says, it gets better, guys. He satisfies you with what? Bad?
No,
with good.
With good.
He satisfies us with good. Other translations say good things.
Yes.
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 Good things. He satisfies us with good things. So that our youth is renewed.
Yes.
Like the eagles? Yes.
Yes.
Like the eagles. Your youth can be renewed when you serve God. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can look younger and younger.
Amen.
Does that mean you'll never get a wrinkle? No, sorry. We still live in a body. It is going to do what it does, you know,
yeah,
as we go. But our inner man, when we're serving and have God living on the inside, when his kingdom is the island we live in or on, that goodness, his love, his mercy will renew our youth. Praise the Lord. He renews our youth like the eagles. What does the next verse say? I want to see how far we want to go here. Oh, this one's good too. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. But guess what, guys? He doesn't do it just by himself. He needs us, the body of Christ. We are the ones who extend God's love. We are the ones who extend his mercy. We're the ones who help get justice for those who are oppressed. And to think that we as the body of Christ don't have a part to play in the world around us, that's not what I mean when I say we're supposed to live on our island, right?
Yeah.
My sister's island that she lives in, she doesn't go to the mainland because she doesn't, you know, want to take the time or buy the ticket, right? And we've talked about that some in some of the other weeks. But it doesn't mean that she's not a part of what's going on. And as the body of Christ, we need to make sure that we're not just living unto ourselves, right? But that we're reaching out to our neighbors and those around us, that we're caring for and stepping out into the lives of our coworkers and things like that, and making sure that they know God's there for them. And if they want to know Him, we can help them know how to get in touch with God, right? How to understand the Word of God, how to receive God and walk with God being real in their lives. Yeah. God's good.
Yes.
And when we give our testimony, we need to major, right?
Yeah.
On the goodness of God, the good things God's done in our lives. In order to major on that, we need to major on it. Meaning, we need to be aware of it. We need to be looking for it. That's why we have green cards back there. We're on the lookout for God working in our lives. And when He does, we went to the botanical gardens the other day. And when we pulled in, it was a zoo, no pun intended. The zoo's right next door to the botanical gardens. But it was crazy. There were people everywhere. And I just said, Lord, thank you for a good parking spot, because this looks like it might be a challenge. And no sooner had the words come out of my mouth than somebody pulled out right in front of us. We pulled in, and we were literally right across the street from the main entrance. Then we walked up to the main entrance, and we said, we're here to buy 3 tickets. And they said, it's a free day. And we're like, what? And they said, you came on a free day. I said, no wonder it's busy here. They said, that's awesome. So what is that? That's just God being good. And you might think, well, that can happen to anybody who went on the free day. I understand that, but I'm looking for God's work in my life, because He's good to me. He's crowned me with loving kindness and goodness. He's given me life, and life more abundantly. I've got peace on the inside. I've got joy on the inside. And He also does good things for me in this life.
Yeah.
And the more we start looking for His goodness, the more we're going to see. And the more we start magnifying how good God is in our life, the more people are going to take notice and say, oh, He really is good to you. Maybe I want Him to be a part of my life. And it just snowballs into this idea that God's really, 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 really good. And the more we serve Him, the more we'll see. And the more we see, the more we can testify.
Right. Amen.
And this way of thinking transforms us to a life of peace and joy, where the things, the trials, the tests that come up in our life, they just don't seem to faze us like they used to.
Yeah.
Can people who don't know God learn to do these things? To a degree, of course. Of course. But the people of God, we should be experts at this, guys.
Yes.
Why? Because God's good.
Yes.
It's the devil who's bad.
Right.
And we don't want to get it confused. Praise the Lord, right? We don't want to get it confused. And if we're not careful, we'll get it confused.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't know why You did this to me. He didn't.
Yeah.
Let's just put it there. He didn't. He didn't. God's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. But there is a thief. That's why we come to church, to learn about God, so we can learn how to cooperate and operate in His kingdom, to allow His goodness to flow in our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, that's enough for today. God has been so good. Why don't you stand up today? Father, we're grateful for all of Your goodness. We're grateful for Your mercy. We're grateful that we have a testimony to share with those around us. We're thankful for all that You've done in our lives. Lord, help us to see, even this week, some of Your goodness in action. We're so thankful that you've given us all things, that you've redeemed our life from the pit, that you've forgiven all of our iniquities, that you've healed all of our diseases. We're so thankful that you're working in every part of our life. And Father, we look to you for everything we do this week, for your help, for your guidance, for your direction. And we purpose to stay in peace, to stay in joy, and to walk in the righteousness that you've given to us because of your goodness. We love you today, and we magnify you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.